everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, the show where we talk about Android apps, phones, good stuff, bad stuff, and pretty much whatever we want to. And now it's time for the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Wait, but before we get to that, let me introduce your hosts and my friends, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, the executive, the man in a tie, Ardini.
Hello. Guys. Wow. You got grievances with our listeners? That's not a way to start off a show.
And after that, the feats of strength.
I have no grievances with our listeners. Thank you for listening. Have a good holiday. Right. Ignore everything Mark says.
This isn't over until you pin me, Mark.
I got the pole up in the back. Tinsel irritates me. I find it distracting.
Exactly. I love that guy so much.
So that's the name of the episode, Door. I got a lot of problems with you people.
I got a lot of problems with you people. I got to write that down.
Or a podcast for the rest of us.
Podcast for the rest. I like that one, a podcast for the rest of us.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to your favorite search engine of choice and type in Festivus, F-E-S-T-I-V-U-S, and enjoy.
Yeah, I saw a link today. It was a YouTube video, Festivus Explained. And it was a good 3 to 6 minute long video, somewhere around there.
It's just different clips from Seinfeld.
Yes, it was a few clips here, a few clips there. And it reminded me of the full scope of Festivus.
I gotta say, I might be on the spectrum, but I was never a huge Seinfeld fan. I know what Festivus is just because of people talking about it. And I've never seen the episode.
Well, I always hated Friends and Big Bang Theory.
I did get my deputy clerk a Big Bang Theory cup for Christmas this year. She liked it, so that's cool. I can't stand the canned laughter, though.
Right, and I will say, pre-show, it does seem like we nearly talk about everything except for Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah. I have seen The Force Awaken this week. How about you guys? And Dora, I know you haven't. You're waiting till after Christmas.
I haven't seen it either. My son has. He went with some other dad, so I'm not Father of the Year. Some other kid's dad is. So good for him. Good for them. I think I was doing a podcast that night or something, but I don't know. I'm just going to use the excuse that I'd like to see it on a better screen with a better sound system.
Okay.
But he did go to the Bruin View, which is where I would probably like to see it. But unfortunately, he couldn't partake.
I have seen it. I plan to see it again, and I plan to take my children to see it. And if you know me and my proclivities in terms of child rearing, you'll know that that's actually a pretty good endorsement.
Oh, it is. It's very high. I haven't seen it. I know I will see it probably multiple times in the theater just because starting January 1st, I get more leave, like free. That I can take any whenever I want. They can't deny me, so I might as well use it for something like that. But I will say this. The movie's not for me. I already know this going into it. I've seen what J.J. Abrams did, and I will say, if anyone watched the old classic Star Trek and really enjoyed that, and then liked these last two movies, they can't like them for the same reason. I'll just say that. Because the newer Star Trek has almost nothing to do with the original Star Trek. And that's what I think they're going to do with this Star Wars is basically for Star Wars for a new generation, if you will. But I'm just going to go and try to enjoy it for what it is, period.
So let me give you my brief spoiler-free review. It's a scale of 1 to 10. I give it a solid 8, 8.5. It's not a great movie, but it's a good movie.
That's good.
There are so many callbacks to the originals and so many direct lifts and things. If it were any other movie, I would degrade it as being derivative and unimaginative. But because of the way they do it and because of the source material, it comes off as an homage. It's like an entire culture of 40 somethings kind of doing a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
This almost sounds identical to your review of Peanuts. Except for more positive.
Yeah. This is completely spoiler free, but just an example of that. So, Return of the Jedi, they're trying to get the door open on the moon of Endor, right? R2 gets blasted and Solo can't figure it. Finally, he just pulls out his gun, shoots the control panel, and it opens. Right. There's a scene in this movie where Han Solo can't get the door open. He just pulls out his gun, blasts the control panel, and it opens and kind of gives a sly nod to the camera when he does. It's very subtle. But it's just one of those things, like, you know, if you're like me and you've seen that scene hundreds of times, you go, oh, I see what you did there. That's great. And it's J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan who wrote or did a lot of the writing on Empire Strikes Back. It's the two of them saying, I've got your childhood. This thing that you hold precious, I got it. We got you covered. Now we're going to move on to the future. Trust us. Right. And that was the message. And it was well delivered. It was enjoyable. This was a movie for 40 somethings that introduced movies to come for 10-year-olds. And that's exactly what it needed to be, I think.
As long as there's no midichlorians.
No midichlorians, no Jar Jar.
Fine. I'm fine. I'm all in.
Well, Porkins, sadly, didn't make a recurrence.
Well, yeah. They could have even... there's a lot they could have brought up, but as long as it's not midichlorians, you know.
So if you've seen Star Trek Into Darkness, you know, that Spock Kirk scene at the end was a mirror replay of the original Wrath of Khan, right? So the same thing, but reversed. There's lots of that in this one. So J.J. Abrams takes the thing that he loves, twists it just a little bit, and replays it, and it is beautiful every time he does it.
Well, I mean, if a Full House Kings over Queens wins, why not next hand do Full House Queens over Kings? You know what I mean?
You can take it, you might as well.
So how was your viewing experience? What was the atmosphere, and how full was the show, and how long of a line were you in? That kind of stuff.
I did a reserve seating, so there was no line, and that was why I chose a reserve seating. I bought my tickets like the day after they went on sale, so a month ago, and I bought the last two seats side by side in the theater that time. But there was a guy behind me who went solo, and he said, I just bought my tickets 10 minutes ago. So there's one little onesie seats throughout that you could get into. So it was one of those dinner and a movie things. And it was, there were some kids there, but I'm telling you, it was 80-20 grown-ups. And it was that's who this movie is for. And maybe they were all like me, you know, trying to review it first. But I think most parents don't actually take that step. Like I do, but yeah, the theater I was, there were people in costume, but not a lot of them, just a few. And it was kind of cool. It was a very supportive environment. Everybody was like, yeah, cool. All the staff were dressed in some sort of costume at the theater. So it was a very inviting thing like that. But there were no lightsabers, and, all in all, everybody seemed to enjoy it. There were no, you know, no rabble rousers. No guy walked in doing the live long and prosper sign and wearing a Captain Kirk uniform.
Good.
But did you hear, I think it was in Texas, where a guy went in to like, and he started talking about spoiler stuff coming. Three people in the movie theater beat him up.
I don't blame him.
Good.
Yeah, I did hear that. Everyone I know who I consider cool, AKA slightly nerdy, all went once with their significant other and then are going to go back with their kids. To me, that just makes sense. My only thing is I really don't want to go with a full theater. I don't want it packed. I don't want it pillar to post filled with people because I want it to be quieter versus noisy. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it goes.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't do a general seating probably until into January, late January, because it's just going to be, you're not going to be able to get a non-packed theater until then. I really think so.
Yeah, that's why I'm not really in a big rush to go this weekend.
It was like $116 million in pre-sales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jurassic World did $238 opening weekend, right? So they had half of that in pre-sales. So my endorsement is a full-on, you'll enjoy it. It's not a 10, but it's I would give, in the Star Wars world, I still think Empire is the best of the movies. I would give it a 9.5. But this one gets an 8, whereas, you know, Phantom Menace gets a 3, and that's if I'm feeling generous that day.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't too many 10s, let's just say that.
No trade talk, negotiations talk. We never see the inside of a Senate chamber.
Oh.
All right, we can't get too far into that until after Dora and I see it. And we're giving you fair warning, everybody. Go watch it while we haven't, so when we come back, we're unabridged, and we will spoil the crap out of stuff.
And in my own little personal claim to fame, one of my former college roommates actually did some of the ships in that movie. He's a designer.
Wow.
He spent 18 months working for LucasArts designing stuff. He also did, if you've seen the Tom Cruise movie Oblivion, he did most of the vehicles in that movie. He's done all kinds of cool stuff, lots of video game stuff, but it was kind of cool because this is like the biggest movie for people of our age. He also got to do recently a hand-drawn, it wasn't computer animated, D&D 50th anniversary or something like that. So he's done the two things of his childhood for people our age who are geeks. He's done Star Wars and he's done D&D.
That's cool. Was he into D&D as a youngster?
He was.
Oh, perfect. Beautiful.
So, Tommy, if you're listening, and I know you're not, good job.
Way to go, Tommy.
Way to go, Tommy.
He goes by something much more esoteric now. Tommy is not a name for an artist.
No, unless he's really good at pinball.
I have blathered far too much. Have you guys got anything you want to say before I say bring on the first app? But before we get there, anything going on? It is almost Christmas. It's the day before night before Christmas. So
yes.
Merry Christmas Eve Eve.
And because I'm your typical nerd, I bought myself a gift because no one knows what to get me because I'm a nerd. I went out and got the Oppo R7 Plus on Amazon, $730. I got it on Swappa for $295.
Wow, that's quite a difference.
Yeah, I was researching that one when I was looking at phones. As best I can tell, it is the model from which the Nexus 6P was made from. They made a few modifications to that design for the 6P.
Well, I can tell you now, the big things about it is the fingerprint reader is square and works unbelievably fast. I mean, really good, really solid.
It's on the back. Oppo is the only people doing that.
Yeah. Everyone thinks Huawei's. Motorola will, but not yet. The default OS is ColorOS. Unfortunately, we'll never know. It is very
default
MIUI like.
Well, don't in just sense out, so we'll of that, since we was, and what
the default startup sound is Homer Simpson saying
the
donuts.
Default icon pack is all circles and he loves it now.
Default launcher is an iOS mimic.
Yes. Sorry. The default layout of the launcher is very MyUI like, aka no app drawer. You load your apps and then just to the side all the other apps reside. Right on the main home screen, there is a theme store where if you go there, you can just load different themes that will then give you a app drawer. So it isn't like you cannot get an app drawer without replacing the launcher. There's plenty of themes and styles that take into account different home screen layouts. So that's the first thing. 16 gig, 3 gigs of RAM. I'm sorry, 32 gig, 16 3 gigs of RAM. If you get the 64 gig version, you get 4 gigs of RAM. This is absolutely plenty. I haven't experienced any slowdown. I've only had it for 2 days. 4,000 milliamp battery, easy 24 hours I've went so far without stressing at all about battery.
Is that a 5.5 inch screen?
No, true 6 inch screen.
Okay.
And the screen is a higher res. I don't know what a high res is, but I know it's really kind of high res. They try to flaunt near bezel-less. I can very obviously see a bezel, but it ain't thick.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I really like it so far. I really actually like it a lot because this is not Marshmallow. Other Asian ROMs have built-in security centers. That's where LBE Privacy Guard came from. This has a built-in privacy center far superior to the Marshmallow security center. I will say that. One, I can passcode apps. So I can make an app and I can lock an app with a passcode so no one can launch it. I can then encrypt the app also. I have individual privacy permissions just like Marshmallow, but I can also copy and clone my preferences. So I can take this app and say, copy this app's permissions to that app. Or I can say, make this the standard app permissions. None of that's available in Marshmallow. So I'm definitely a big fan of that. It's very easy to just turn off the permissions and say, I don't care about these permissions. Just let my apps do what they want to do. So I really do like that a lot. I have not got into the energy savings mode, but supposedly there's the energy savings mode where this battery can last a week. Haven't done that yet.
Well, those invariably turn off all the stuff that you actually want. The best way to save the battery on your phone is not to actually use it.
Right. Yeah. And instead of being a pull... a push technology, it's a pull technology on demand, which means if you want to check your email, you have to open up and check your email. No. So, yes, I'm not a fan of that, but I'm going to definitely try it just for a little bit, just see what it's like. And I will say, like, for instance, today, I unplugged it late last night. Right now, I'm still on 3G Wi-Fi. This takes a micro nano SIM. The SIM in my OnePlus is too big. I don't have a cutter. So I'm literally carrying the OnePlus around in hotspot mode and having this phone on Wi-Fi only, but I unplugged it late last night, left it unplugged all overnight, got out this morning, drove to work with navigation on for over an hour, drove, had it all day, wireless all day, drove home in 2.5 hours of traffic with the GPS on the entire time. I got home. I was still above 70% battery.
Did you have the screen on the whole time?
During the navigation, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, the battery is sick, is the best way I can put it. The battery is sick. Now, it's going to, the true test is when I get the SIM cut or get a proper size SIM. But for right now, the softball test I gave was very easy. I do have a camera here, and I do plan on doing a proper review with hopefully good quality images of the phone here in a couple of days to a week when I feel more full about my review. Already took a lot of screenshots. There are certain things in here I will just say that are really nice that I can see other phone manufacturers, aka Android, trying to suck back into its default OS.
It's a good looking phone.
And you got it on Swappa, so it was used?
If it's used, I can't tell, but yes, it's used.
Okay.
You know, but better than 50% off. I'll take that.
So you got it at 300-ish. Would you pay 700? Is it that good?
I don't know. I don't think I would pay 700 for any phone, period. And I don't see why this would be 700. Yeah, it has an okay screen. Yeah, it has a good battery. Yeah, it has a good fingerprint reader. But it does. But it's like you were saying before, there's nothing that makes this really, in my mind, truly stand out. And with Nexus phones selling for $250 for the previous version Nexus, for your Motorola selling for $400, this to me is not worth any more than $450 to $500 at the most.
What phone is that again, Dor?
The Oppo OPPO R7 Plus.
And you were going from the Oppo OnePlus or the OnePlus One to that, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's Oppo too, OnePlus One?
Technically, yes, but no, it's OnePlus One. It's like a daughter company from Oppo.
Nice. That's good. That's a good looking phone. It's kind of a, not the color I would say that you would normally have, but.
No gold. But I was able to find some beautiful square icons. Oh man, that made me feel good.
You have no case on that. Are you planning to keep it naked?
I do have a case. It's just a really cheap around three of the sides case, just because it came over quick. Because this is not sold in the U.S., it's not easy to get cases for it. That when I did order a case from Amazon that was much better, it said estimated delivery January 15th, between January 15th and February 28th.
Oh, somewhere between there.
Yeah.
Are you going to find a case that will break into three parts every time you drop your phone?
Maybe.
Just wondering.
I'm actually a really big fan of those thin TPU cases. I think that they do exactly what you need to do. They don't take up space. They keep you from scratching your phone. You don't need something, or at least I don't. I don't need something that can handle falling off a second-story building onto asphalt. I don't need an OtterBox. I need something that's going to, if I drop it in the garage on the way to the car, that's going to keep it from getting scratched up. And in my case on the Moto, it's got that textured vinyl back on it. I've just got a bumper case on it. And the bumper case has some scratches around the corners, which is what a bumper case is supposed to do. The scratches are on the case and not on the phone. And so I've never been a big fan of taking your thin, light, 8.5 ounce phone and sticking a 2.6 pound case on it.
Yeah. Every case I've had here recently has at least been really light. And that's really my main goal. But the only thing I really have to buy for this is the tempered glass front. Because I know with as much surface area as this true 6-inch takes up, if anything is going to get damaged, in my luck, it's going to be that screen.
Yeah, I'm sold on those tempered glass. Everything I own from now on is going to have tempered glass screen protector on it, I think.
My sunglasses have tempered glass.
My problem I have with it, and it's not the technology, it's me, is that there's a little edge. They never fully cover the entire glass, and so there's that extra little bezel, and it just... I can't see anything but that.
Really? When I look at it. Yeah, I looked right past that. I don't.
That's why I was so happy. My last case covered up the entire edge of the phone by that exact amount, Mark.
Nice.
It was like, perfect fit right there to where I never had to see it. And then when I took the exterior case off, it would send me into stuttering obsession. Upsetness. It drove me nuts. But then when I put the case back on, just forgot about it. Out of sight.
I miss all that stuff. People talk about, like on this Note 4 that I have, they say there's a gap between the glass and the metal frame all the way around. I never see anything like that. I don't care about that stuff.
Interestingly, though, on my Moto 360, I look right past the flat tire. So you choose the right background, and you'll never know it's there. Right. So it's just it all depends. You can get used to anything, but I put one of those tempered glass screens on. I was like, I can't live with that. I just can't. Right, the cutout around the front facing camera was just not perfect, and I don't blame them for not being able to do it perfectly. But I can't have that on my phone.
Speaking of watch and new things, Mark Sralt, a good listener of ours, has just totally redone another watch face for me, and I'm really liking this one. It's got my name at the top, and it reminds you when it goes dim like that. It looks like an Indiglo watch when it's just in quiet mode, or there's Tim Bauermeister probably talking on Boxer or something. But yeah, I like it. Thank you very much, Mark. I think he sent me three different revisions of this new one, and I liked it. I was actually using a different one of his that he made, not one that was an Android App Addicts one or anything, but just one that was more of a general watch face that he had made for himself and others that would change colors or something. But this one's got a little shininess, like when you move it, it actually tries to make itself look like it's got a metallic background by changing up the gradients and stuff. I don't know. I like it.
That's cool. I noticed you have an analog watch face on a square watch.
Mm-hmm. I do.
That's just why? Wrong. That's wrong. It's wrong.
And I can't.
Why wear a computer on your wrist that emulates 800-year-old technology?
I don't know. I kind of like the analog. No, I can't. I mean, they do make some people have got some great watch faces that look like old Timexes perfectly.
Well, and I don't want that either. I don't want something that looks like an old. If I want an old Timex, I'll get an old Timex. Mine. I don't know if I can show it for the camera, but mine is it's too far away. Mimics the HTC Sense flip clock. So it's got a little bit of the analog old school there,
right, exactly.
But it also, it's got a nice swirly background. It doesn't look like anything that exists in nature. And that's what I want. I don't want something that looks like something old. I don't like faux leather, you know, wallpapers either. I don't want something that looks like a deckled edge on a piece of paper on my note taking app. I want a nice screen where I can type stuff.
I did have one for a while that was, made out of, what are those, Nixie sticks or something? Nixie pixels?
No. Nixie tubes.
I mean, that was as fanciful, I think, as I got. I don't know. I don't like it too weird. Just like glance down, just numbers and circles. I'd rather have the old faithful. I mean, I've got an analog clock everywhere I go, except for my computer, bottom right. I don't know. It seems like I'm drawn towards analog watch faces, though.
Skeuomorphism, it bothers me. The idea of making something digital look physical, it's anathema to me. I can't wrap my brain.
But you would have a flip over type watch rather than a digital. Where actually have had physical pieces of plasticky paper that flip over themselves.
I'm saying it's just reminiscent of it. If it had actually done the animations, I wouldn't have it.
And
it's just reminiscent of it.
And Eric, that's the clock from Groundhog Day, so take it easy.
They say our love would never last. All right, so we're 25 minutes in, haven't talked about a single app. What I would like to do, guys, if you will indulge me, is do two apps each tonight. Keep it relatively short. That's our Christmas gift to you. The two best apps that we've got and a show that's not 9 hours long. What do you think?
No.
Can you do it? Can you narrow it down to two?
No. Sorry. And Mark Sralt's watch app that I was just talking about was done with Watchmaker. So there's an app. But
yes.
Do you use Watchmaker for your watch?
Of course, like everybody, when you first get it, you start making watch faces. And yeah, I've made a couple, and then I realized that I'm not good at that, and I leave it to people who are.
It's not simple.
The scripting part I can do. I've got, you know, that part of my brain is solid. It's the art part and making something that actually looks good. No. So, yes, I have used Watchmaker. The watch face I have right now is a Watchmaker face, but I'm not a designer.
Okay, I can break this down to two apps. One of them is going to be a repeat app, though, from before.
Oh, okay. So you
okay,
start with
I'm going to start. And I have to give the credit for this app to Johnny. Johnny is a well-known person in the Podnuts community. She has joined us at OLF a couple times. And she introduced me to Evil Apples, a dirty card game. And this is not safe for work or children. This game is definitely rated M.
Yeah, this is Cards for Humanity ripped off.
Right. Yeah, so if you didn't get Cards Against Humanity or for Christmas and you're kind of bummed by that, just download Evil Apples for free. Tell a couple of your friends to do it too, and you guys can play the game without having to buy the card set. I think it's pretty fun. In the right company. It's not something you want to play with your kids because it is very, very dirty. And even if you look at the screenshots, you'll kind of get an idea of how dirty it is. And do you want me to give my neck? Dory, did you play around? You played around, didn't you? Or not? Did you play around with us?
For what?
Of this game?
No. I don't like people. Why would I do that?
So give me the premise of the game. I've never played Cards Against Humanity. Looking at this, I think I grok it. But give me the premise of the game, just so that our listeners understand.
Okay, so they'll throw a card up there, and the card will have a blank space in it where you got to fill in the blank. And you get, I think, 5 or 7 cards dealt to you. And as you play, you can actually get to the point where you can type in your own card and make up your own card. Okay, so you fill in the blank with this thing. You have all of your players do this, and one player is a judge, and that judge player has to read all of the answers that came in for that blank, and that person picks out who wins, not knowing who wrote it or who submitted it, and then whoever wins gets a point, and then the next round comes by, someone else is a judge, and everybody does it again with a different card.
So it's the best answer to the question or the best filling in of the blank.
Whoever, and it's up to the judge if what
makes Mad Libs
best. It could be funniest. It could make the most sense. It's totally up to the judge, whichever one they pick.
And thus my problem with it, which is why, and I didn't know this existed until I watched Ninja Warrior back in the day on G4 Asian game shows. The reason I can't stand this kind of game is this is the American version of a game where every round there's a winner. I like Japanese game shows where most of the time everyone's a loser. It's really difficult to win something. And this, every round somebody's a winner. Every round somebody's a winner. Every round somebody's a winner.
Well, every round, and then the ultimate winner would get like be the first one to 6 points or whatever, you know, to win the whole round, I guess. You know, the set right. Match kind of thing.
And it doesn't help that 99% of the time when I end up I'm talking to someone and I'm funny, I'm not trying to be funny. And when I try to be funny, they just look at me like there's something wrong with me. So
I kind of can relate. Yeah.
So I could see myself sitting, you know, on the couch as the kids are watching their, you know, whatever Disney thing and just laughing hysterically at something. And then they kind of say, what are you laughing at? I'll tell you when you're 18.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be too close to the little kids during any part of this gameplay.
Okay.
Okay, that was one.
We're gonna do tank emptying.
Okay.
All right.
Back to
bring it on.
And this is a repeat app from Door, and he brought this probably a month ago, I'm guessing. It's called Horizon Chase World Tour, and I just gotta say, man, I have upped my game on this. I paid for all of it to be unlocked. I am totally sold on this racing game, and I'm not sure why. I mean, I loved the arcade game. What was it?
Cruising USA.
Cruising USA. I loved that arcade game, but this game, the gameplay is so good on this game. I really want to get first place in every track for some reason. I'm really sticking with it, and it works so well with my gamepad from the Amazon gamepad that I have for the Amazon Fire TV. I'll set my tablet right in front of me, and if I'm like laying in the bed, I'll just set the tablet on my chest, and I'll put my hands behind the tablet and hang onto the gamepad and just drive. And nice. It's a fun game. I've played a lot of racing games, and this one. I even bought the Ski-Doo one too recently, the Riptide GP2, just to see. Well, right. Maybe I'm just really into racing games, and that one's fun too. I mean,
it's good,
it is.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same. No, no.
See, I played this one, and I enjoyed it while I was playing it, and I played it incessantly for a while, but it wasn't compelling enough for me to buy it. When I got to the end of the free stuff, I was like, all right, I'm done with that, and moved on.
See, I did too, originally.
part of the reason why I think this game is good, I literally spent well over an hour this week playing this game, is it takes what was successful about the old game Top Gear and it enhances it without going crazy with crazy power-ups, crazy effects, crazy competition. It's just enough competition to make it a little difficult to be number one every time, but it's doable. It is definitely doable. If you get the flow of avoiding people and nitroing at the right time, you feel a sense of accomplishment without it being overly challenging. And it has enough graphics beauty, as I put it, to where, you know, it can just work. I'll say on the GPD handheld Game Boy-like system, butter. This and Colin McRae are two really good games, but I really suck at Colin McRae. And this one I'm actually doing decent at. I'm really shocked at how good I'm doing at this game. I honestly see myself in a year every now and then going back and playing this game a little bit more, just because it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be the old standby when I'm bored and don't know what else to do. I'll just play some Horizon Chase.
Yeah, I agree, man. Aquarius Game Studio SA, they got it. Just, you're right. It's just enough of a great feeling when you get first place that it is a little bit of an accomplishment.
What hooked me about it was that you have to feather the brake. You know, you can't just throttle all the time. You can't win that way. And that, I like that.
I'll say this: you can, but it's 10 times harder than playing the game right.
Yeah, it's just such a huge. It's when you bump the back of a car and it's
go from 130 to 70 in a second.
It's such a disappointing thing you just did. It's like, and I like the little lyric, it's a thing that pops up, says use your turbo ride or something, don't mess up or something, like, I don't know, it's something funny, but you know what they're talking about. Don't hit the back of a car because that just ruins it.
I just this is the kind of game I cannot get too much of.
Yeah,
just works really well. And whatever this company makes next, I'm probably going to play that as well.
Yeah, they definitely dialed this one in perfectly for me anyway. Horizon Chase World Tour.
I would like to bring an app, if I may. It's one you're not going to like, Door. You may have already talked about it because there are no new apps. I can't bring an app that you haven't already done. But it involves other people, and that's why you're not going to like it. It's 8-Ball Pool by Miniclip, and it's just heads-up pool online with other people. And you can have friends, and that's where it got me started. Some friends at work had got me onto it, and so we've been playing, not at work, boss. but they're my friends who I also work with, and we've been playing. And it's really, and actually what I like about it is it's not a game you can play at work. It's not an asynchronous thing. It's not like chess where you make a move and then 5 hours later you have to be head-to-head with somebody actually engaged in some in gameplay, and I like that about it. You can also play against a computer, but it's not as good. And you can randomly play against strangers, which is fine too. But it's a good physics. The physics of it is good, and I really like it. 8-Ball Pool by Miniclip.
You know, I paid for this a long time ago, but I don't know why. I don't remember why. I guess I should get friends with you and start playing you against, since I've already paid for it.
Yeah, you would like to, because I suck. So it would be great.
That's because I think you, me, and Steve C all bought this.
Okay,
Eric, and we didn't play a couple times that many. But here's what I can't remember, Mark, because just like the reason I like Horizon Chase was slight difficult without being over difficult. What I don't like about some pool games is either A, the line from your cue ball is too accurate and it's very easy to go on 6, 7, 8 ball streaks, or there's no line, or the line is so inaccurate it's difficult to make two in a row. How would you say this rates? Like, what's your average run on the
I would say it fairly well mimics my real play. I can do, you know, I can do 6 balls if everything works out right, but that's what I compliment the physics. You've got to get not only the angle right, but also the strength of the stroke right and the English right, and all of those things have to work together. And you know, you can easily drop a ball using the arrows, right, where it's going to show you the reflection angle, but it doesn't show you the leave, and that's the real art of pool. Yeah. Is the leave. And so that's it gives you just enough to help you have some success, but not so much that it does it for you.
Right. And my pool knowledge goes as far as to make a shot is easy. To make a shot and have your ball set up for the next shot, that's where true pool players reside.
I spent many, way too many hours in my youth putting chalk on a piece of wood and hitting little balls. And there was a time when I was really pretty good at it. And this brings back that feel like no other pool game I've ever had, I've ever played on the computer.
Yeah. Cool. I'll have to revisit this, Mark. And are you up to play Dora or I if we would like to challenge you? Even though Dora's
sure.
Doesn't want to talk to people or anything.
I'm not going to promise anything. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Absolutely. It's that thing, that scheduling thing. You literally kind of have to schedule this because it's not, as far as I can tell, you can send an invitation, but once you leave the app, the invitation goes away. So you've got to make plans ahead of time, and I'm okay with that.
All right. I'm installing it. Would you, have you played this on a tablet versus a phone? Which would you rather, what would you suggest? Doesn't matter?
Well, my phone is a phablet. It's a, the 6-inch, and that's all I've played it on. I would think, I don't know, it might be a little hard to control on a big tablet, having to get the angle just right and hold the tablet. I don't know.
Okay, mine's 6-inch too, so we'll be even there. That's good. I don't know. I'll give it a try. Cool. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, do you remember that bad commercial from like 5 years ago or so, where there was two people sitting at a bus stop playing mobile games? And the girl crushed the guy, mm-hmm. And the reason was because she had a bigger phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Times have changed.
It was an Android phone.
Yeah, and they were both like, 2.83 inches or something like that. super tiny.
I think that was one of the Samsung's versus Apple ones.
I can't remember.
Could have been.
All right, Mr. Geek, Mr. Door-to-Door.
Okay.
What have you got for us?
I'm going to harken back to something you said earlier in this show.
I hate it when people listen to me, because then I'm responsible and accountable for what I say.
But it's not going to be that accurate, though, so that should make you feel better. You were talking about sitting on the couch while your kids are watching movies. This should, like a hard knee-jerk reaction, remind you of the movie Ice Age. For people who have seen that movie, you're going to understand what I say. People who haven't, I'm really sorry. In that movie, there was a point in time where the characters were going through a cave and they saw what amounted to cave drawings on the wall, and they quote-unquote came to life. That's exactly what this game is. It's in the style of cave drawings, but it comes to life where you lead the characters through a story. And they try to emphasize the emotion of the story, if you will. It's about a mammoth and its family. And you control the mammoth. I never saw if you actually control the humans or not. But
so you get to trample people?
You get to trample lots of people.
Nice.
Because, they're big, huge things with big tusks. So I guess, they can do whatever
can
they want.
Can you accidentally trample your kid, your children, your baby mammoths too, or not?
I know I should have, but I didn't. So I'm going to say no, you can't. Okay. Kind of thing. I'm dead serious when I tell people this is the kind of game stylistically I encourage everyone just to look at it at least once. It's completely free, called The Mammoth, a Cave Painting by In-Between Games, T for Teen. No in-app purchases. Completely free, so it's really, to me, the easy thing to just check out. And this did, when Mark said two apps, these two, I'll say, slightly beat out the other ones. I like that app. This app I have to mention just because of this next one, because of lineage, because of where this show has came from. We talked about an app 3+ years ago, I want to say, called Habit RPG. Habit RPG was a website, first and foremost, that came out of, I want to say, Indiegogo or Kickstarter, where multiple people could link up, create a guild, create tasks and things based upon real life routines, like waking up on time, leaving for work on time, the good things in your life, or getting double bacon on my veggie sub, bad thing, and mark them as points or activities in a game called Habit RPG that would raise or lower your XP, your health, and stuff like that. So it was taking the gamifying of life and putting it into the game from the real life habits. This is the second version of that.
Okay.
It's a huge rev, a lot more polish, and does look much better and seems like it runs much better, called Habitica. Habitica. So it's the same basic principle where you take normal, daily, good and bad habits. The good habits you assign positive tributes to or positive prizes to, and the negative ones you assign negative things to. Like what they say, daily reading, daily flossing, going to the gym, eating vegetables, listening to audiobook, cook healthy meal, eat junk food, like quest, a attack of the mundane part one dish disaster, basically doing your dishes. I can honestly see people who need extra reinforcement to do other stuff in their life besides watch Ancient Aliens or Monday Night Football, but to actually do stuff, you might need that extra bump. And this literally might be one of those things that you might look at doing and actually might turn out being something you think is fun.
I think that one of the things for this needs to be charge your phone, because the screenshots, the battery's always like 13. One of them's down to 7%.
That's just painful.
How can you do that?
good eye. I didn't know.
What kind of monster does that?
I looked through the screenshots. I never noticed that. Good job.
I didn't either. Wow, that's really bad. Yeah, touche.
You were talking, Mark, about people holding you accountable for what you say by listening to you. Now, this way you could hold yourself accountable for what you do and make a game out of it. I personally would never invest anything into this.
So if I'm reading this right, Dor, this needs to be a group activity. It's not something you can get into on your own.
You can get into it on your own, but there is also guild-like aspects of it that you can take advantage of.
I'm not into the gamification thing, right? You know, the walking and weight loss. There's all kinds of opportunities to make that a competition. You know, at work, there's always some pool going around where you weigh in every Friday or whatever. That doesn't really appeal to me. And I also don't really get into role play games. So both ways, I don't think this would appeal to me. But if that's you, then this is like the Fitbit thing, but, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons version of it.
Well, here's how I'm going to try to make it work. Between us, we're going to have a fat, jolly man bring one of my child's, a tablet. The same child that's broken multiple tablets. My other child still has a tablet. I'm literally going to look at doing this, making a guild with us three in it, and making daily habits like being respectful in school, doing all of your schoolwork, doing all of your homework, helping mom with a task, you know, that kind of thing. I'm literally going to think about doing this kind of thing just because I think my youngest son needs encouragement from all angles. And I'm first to say I spoil my children rotten because they're my kids and I can do what the hell I want. But I think this is the kind of little thing that if I get him a little bit excited about and giving him prizes about, I think he's actually going to strive to do better. But I don't know. I'm gonna try.
We could use it.
So, Dor, you sort of swerved into a parenting thing there. I want to go down a little bit of tangent, but I'm gonna let Eric finish his.
I was thinking first. We could use it even for podcast hosts. Like, hey, you brought show notes. You added something to the spreadsheet. Plus one.
Oh my God, Eric! I spit my drink.
You showed up on time.
Wow. You didn't have people yelling in the background. You turned your furnace off, you know, stuff like that.
That's good, Eric. That's really good.
That would be the only time I would use it, though.
Your little thing there, you talked about child A breaking tablets and getting new tablets and child B not breaking tablets. I have the same thing in my house. Of my three, two of them have repeatedly broken their devices. One has not. And I always feel like I'm punishing the one for being responsible when I buy a new one to replace the broken one.
Yep.
And so what I think I want to do is buy a new one for the responsible one and give the irresponsible one the old one. Mm-hmm. But then that doesn't seem right either.
I know. I know. Here's the only thing that I have going for me about this right now. The old tablet is a old RCA quad core 8 gig internal space, whatever, that whenever anything happens on it that is undesirable, I just open up the downloads folder, I open up the SD card, delete the Android folder, then everything works. You can install whatever you want to or whatever. The new tablet, I hear from the North Pole, is going to be a Amazon 7-inch $50 tablet that was on sale for $35. So Santa saved a couple, greenbacks. But it's a tablet that's filled with ads. And my logic is I would almost be punishing that good child by giving him an ad-laden tablet.
Yeah, see, I took the opportunity of the rotund Norseman to bring me out of that well, because I can't control what the large Northerner does, and if he chooses to bring a new tablet to replace the broken one, then that's his thing. But it gives me pangs as a parent.
Yeah.
It's one of those you want to make everything you do in your life and everything you do in your child's life teaches a lesson, whether you're intending to or not.
Right.
So I try to be really conscious of which lesson I'm teaching. And so the lesson kind of is if you beat your crap up, dad gets you new crap.
I know. And I'm really trying, because what I'm also trying to do is I'm trying to make the young one actively earn his other stuff, where the older one, he's earning other stuff right now. Like I remind him, you don't need that because you got this. Instead, you're getting this other thing. Instead, you're getting that other thing. Instead, you're able to do this. And like he literally has an Intel NUC now upstairs in his room where he can watch Minecraft videos and play Minecraft. The other kid doesn't have that. You do, because you have been really good with that, really good with that, really good with that. But I don't know if it's actually sinking in. I think he just looks at the other one and thinks, you get stuff.
Right. So I started my kids on the most inexpensive tablet just to see if they could handle one. Right. I paid $50 to $60 for the tablets, and they were training wheels. I expected them to get broken. And so the next year, they upgraded. And then the next year, they upgraded again as they have proved their worthiness. But because I'm a softy, not at any point did I upgrade only one of them while forcing the other to stick with what they had, which, is probably wrong. But again, I used the opportunity of the large magic man to make that, to sanitize the process.
I like that.
Sanitize. But I still feel bad
that's
about
good.
It.
That's good.
Yes.
I've got one that's on Apple and one that's taken to Android rather well from Apple, a converter. So he's done well even though he's running on the 2012 Nexus 7, which is a hand-me-down. But I think maybe for a birthday or something, I could hand this one, this 10-inch Dell, down to him, which is a huge upgrade, from that one, where it actually runs without waiting for stuff all the time. But it's still going to be hand-me-downs, though.
Right.
But the Apple one has been running on a broken screen for over a year. I just figured, stop. It showed me slivers one time, so I'm like, eh.
My rule on broken screens is if it doesn't cut you, fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. here's a tempered glass protector. Your finger will slide smoothly now. But to be fair, I gave that to her broken. It was one that I had intended on fixing, but then I sold my business and I didn't have the tools anymore. So, and she likes it, so whatever. But that's getting replaced soon.
So I will appeal to the listening audience. Use the comment function of the Zcast app, which I know you're listening to this podcast on, and tell me what you think about rewarding destructive behavior. Or you could just send an email to aaa@podnuts.com, but that's the much more pedestrian way to do it.
Or voicemail voicemail if you really want to be pedestrian about it.
Well, and I'll say this. I'm now feeling bold enough to say, you send me a video file, I'll play the video file during the show, too. And unlike other shows, we'll actually play your video file. Do you know how far off that app is, Zcast, before it's going to possibly be in the market? And the only reason I ask, got a new phone, installed all the stuff, it's not in the market. Oh, I'll look for it. And I literally forgot to go back through my emails looking for the link to it.
Well, it's at elementop.com. It's on all of the show notes I've done recently. I am going to start pushing for that. You know, this is developer's choice, but I think it's well enough. We just recently squashed what I consider the biggest performance bug, APK update to be coming in the near future. And now we're working on the appearance bugs. So based on that, I think it's time to go ahead and throw it in the market with a beta tag on it. And I'm willing to, you know, pay the fees and do all that. If he's not, I haven't talked to the developer about that. But I would say that's probably coming in the very near future.
Very cool. Yeah, because I think it's solid enough. I haven't experienced really any issues. The only issues I ever experienced was when I didn't clear cache between upgrades. And that was it. Everything else just seems working fine. The only issue now, as you mentioned, that I ever had, pulling the headphone jack would cause the podcast to start back at 000. Okay. I did have that happen a couple times.
I haven't heard about that one.
And I would give a suggestion, if this is our forum to give you suggestions for the Zcast app. The library of search. I mean, I know I kind of pushed you guys to put other podcasts in there and have search feature. But when you type in the word Android, so many come up that haven't produced in years. Right off the bat.
Yeah, it's just pulling from the iTunes catalog, and I don't know what the tools are to filter that, but we can ask. I did notice, Dor, something that you might want to mention on this particular, actually on all of yours, the Podnuts and the name of the podcast, there's no space between them. So you can't search Android App Addicts. You got to search Podnuts Android, because the Z and the A of Podnuts and Android are together, so it doesn't show up as Android App Addicts. It's not a partial match. Mm. Probably something you could fix really easily, but would probably also force everybody to re-download all the stuff. So,
nah,
you know,
can't. No, because that would only have to be in the header. Oh, I see what you're talking. Yeah, that should just be in the header. That shouldn't cause any issue. Good eye, though. Good eye.
Well, it was because I was trying to reload it, and I couldn't find it. And I typed in Podnuts, and I noticed that they all came up that way.
Crikey.
Yeah, oh, see, it's good to have people helping people and a somewhat developer for our most important app for the show to be sitting right here with us. That's good times, man. Good times.
I'm the go-between. I have no developing skills. I'm the idea man. This whole thing was my idea.
And I love it. I think it's a great idea.
I'm super excited about it. It's the thing I want to see it used more. And if one of the, you know, the bigger podcasts gets a hold of this and starts, you know, making use of it, then it would be, you know, it's really going to spread. Not to diminish the Podnuts empire, but the your entire audience is less than a single show of some other people. And if I can just get one of those other people to be aware of it and say, you know, get grok the idea of, you know, essentially it's SoundCloud, right? But I came up with the idea before SoundCloud was doing it. I'm excited about the potential of it.
Yeah, some shows.
And I hope the developer makes a ton of money off of it.
Oh, yeah. Some shows, Latino live audience is bigger than the complete audience of this network. There are some much, much, much bigger people in all different realms.
Yeah. My live audience on a typical show is 3. So, you know, I know, you know, other podcasts that have 30,000 people watching live 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. That's your 2, Dor. We've done 2. We've told some stories. We've had some parenting heart-to-hearts. I think it all together, it's a special episode, a holiday special episode of Android App Addicts.
Yep. We did have one new Patreoner, I want to say, in the last week.
It would be Bill Kemp.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Bill. That's great.
And Todd Evans wants to let us know that Songza is now owned by Google.
I know, and I was so mad. I emailed Songza about this today, and
they didn't already own them.
They did. They've owned them for about a year, but they're killing Songza off at the end of January.
Oh,
and Songza is my number one music app. That's all I use for music, and so I was a little miffed, and I let them know. And the first thing I did is typed in the search in Google Play Music, songs from Apple commercials, because that's one of the playlists I like to listen to. Like, you know, I'm not a big fan of Apple, but I like their songs. I like their playlist. So I typed it in there. No such luck. No such playlist. Gone. I went back 3 hours later, and they had 2 playlists other people had made themselves with all of the songs that have ever been in an Apple commercial. So I wasn't the only one who likes that station. So I was glad to see that happened. And then today, for $1, I signed up for 90 days of Google Music Unlimited, or Google Play Music Unlimited, or whatever it is.
And in similar news, I just got an email from Roku telling me that, like literally just moments ago, that the RDO streaming service is no more. As of yesterday, December 22nd, it is dead and gone. Wow. So you were an RDO subscriber, you are no longer an RDO subscriber. It's going to be Apple and Google, isn't it? Yep. That it's going to be another one of those places where it comes down to Apple and Google.
Yeah, yeah. And this one, Apple probably has a bigger library, I'm guessing, than Google does. I don't know, but I haven't used iTunes in so long. It was such a frustrating piece of garbage before. And the only reason I ever used it was because it had kind of a decent podcasting client in it. And once the other podcasting apps came along, there was no use for that laggy piece of junk iTunes. That's probably the thing that drove me away from Apple fastest was iTunes.
Okay. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
How do you follow that up? There's
I can't wait for your Zcast app. I'll give it a full I'll give it a full review.
Okay. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up. That's the let's see, is it the last one of the year? No, we'll do one more. Yeah. So it is definitely the we're rounding out the year at least.
Yep.
Yep. I'll just end it off with saying I thank everyone for their support throughout the whole year. Thanks for everyone who is supporting us on Patreon. Everyone who goes to pasta.com/Amazon, you guys all help the network greatly and immensely, crazily. If you want to, you can now go to zazzle.com/podnuts. New logo t-shirts, new logo hats are there available for purchase. Nice. I do plan on doing Eric, Teespring?
Yeah, Teespring.
Yeah. I do plan on doing some kind of Teespring just for different logos or different styled logos on the shirts. Cool. Sooner or later, put it that way, sooner or later. And I want to thank you, Eric, for all the work that you do just coming out every night. You support the network just as much, if not more, than anybody else. So thank you. And Mark, thank you for coming on and basically SOSing, saving our ship.
No, I just caused more problems than I solved, I think. You would never have been talking about Star Wars were I not here. You can decide whether or not that's a good thing.
I couldn't believe it. Today, Steve C. pinged me and Eric and asked if we saw the new Star Wars because he wanted to talk about it. I was like, really?
And then here we are sitting here like, well, we haven't seen it yet. Like, what?
Yeah, because he's the anti-nostalgia guy, but he's also the guy that loves J.J. Abrams. So I already know how he feels about the movie.
Yeah. Well, I will say that there were lens flares in this one, but not so many as to be annoying.
So
I did take
you.
Note of the lens flares.
So says you. Well, I'll be my own judge.
Oh, that was a spoiler right there. Now I'm going to be looking. I'm not going to see anything but lens flares now.
Oh, well, in the Star Trek ones, that's all. Once you've noticed them, that's all you can see.
Yeah.
But in Star Wars, when there was a lens flare, it should have been there. There was a light source moving across the screen, so I felt okay about it.
Cool.
I'll take your word on it.
All right. I think that's it. We're going to say goodbye for now. Seriously, guys, thanks for letting me hang out with you. It truly is a highlight of my week. I really enjoyed being on. I mean, I've sort of, the dream has come true. I've gone from being a listener to being a participant. But you, the listener, are participants, even though you don't get to sit behind the mic. You support us. You tell other people about us. Really, the best thing you can do is tell 15 of your closest friends about this show and share the wealth. As the audience grows, opportunities to monetize grow. Yes, we love it when Patreon people support. We love it when you buy through our Podnuts Amazon referral link. But really, the best thing you can do is tell other people about it. So whatever system you use, go rate and review. And then, find somebody who's got an Apple account and go rate us there on iTunes, too. Because that would be the greatest thing if the number one app on iTunes would be an Android podcast. We need to make that happen. We need to throw all of our effort around that to making the Android App Addict show the number one podcast in iTunes. Because that
remember those days when Samsung had their podcast player door and we were number one.
Yeah, we were number one. We were above the Quran.
That was so neat. I love my
Quran podcast was number two.
And I've never stopped buying Samsung since. See, they. Yep.
It worked. They earned a customer for life. You give them hundreds of dollars a year. All right. I'm going to say that's it. We'll see you next week on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.